Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. 'Cause all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Magical Engineer Frank's ready. I'm ready. Great show we have ahead for you. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, branding healthcare. And this is going to really be intriguing as to know how it's being done so you can be savvy consumers out there. And we have a quack report. And but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi for righteous men and women in uniform. Hit the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, because it's growing short. And our devotional puts us in Ephesians 5, and it said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Ooh, make sure you're not in that camp, the children of disobedience, because it's not going to go well. And, you know, this invitation to seek the Lord's face, make him the Lord of your life, and repent, so you're not in with that camp. Well, that invitation is going to expire soon. So you want to make sure you're not squandering the time. Seek his face and be saved. All right, and without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker. Since 1993, dozens of government agencies and organizations have warned against or called for a ban on wireless technology. One of the first entities to ever speak out against wireless tech and the dangers that it poses to human health was the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, back November 9, 1993. And at the time, the EPA called out the Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC, for imposing seriously flawed exposure standards that put public health at risk. Now, just one day after, on November 10, 1993, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, they entered a similar official comment to the FCC, in a docket pertaining to the FCC's guidelines for evaluation of electromagnetic effects of radio frequency radiation. So according to a quote here, the FCC's rules do not address the issue of long-term chronic exposure to RF fields, and the FDA wrote in the docket echoing the EPA's warnings. So it kind of turns out that there are many different federal agencies and other authoritative entities that have spoken out against the wireless tech over the years, and only they were ignored. The final decision-making power went to those who ignored that. Now, in the same year, 1993, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health also called out the FCC for imposing inadequate standards based on only one dominant mechanism, adverse health effects caused by body heat. That's the only way they kind of ruled out health issues, is if it didn't cause body heat. Wow. All right. Last but not least in the Quack Report, Americans are least likely to care about kids having good manners. Shocker. Overall, adults in the United States are least likely to say their kids are having good manners is an especially important quality. So do parents think it's a good idea their kids have good manners? Only 52% of them today say, yeah, it's a good idea. Now, compared to 2017, King's College of London released a report where the U.S., the country least likely out of 24 countries surveyed in recent years to believe good manners are critical for their kids. And this is a significant drop from the 1990s, where 76% of adult Americans said it was a very important quality for children to be raised and possess good manners. It's also kind of a stark contrast to the leading country, Egypt, where 96% of those they surveyed said good manners should be the top parenting priority. Nigeria came in second with 89%, followed by Morocco at 88%. And where did the UK land up? Not far off, sixth place, 85% say good manners are a key in life. But Americans don't seem to think so. Shocker. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. All righty then. So we're going to be talking about branding healthcare. Yeah, this is important because this is medical science talking. And so we're going to get it from the horse's mouth here. So medical science, just like any other business, is heavily marketed. And I recently spoke to a lady who thought TV ads for prescribed medicine was an inappropriate marketing tool to the public, which encouraged people to self-diagnose and pressure physicians for medicines they may not need. Well, for decades, the pharmaceutical companies tried to get their ads on TV and in print magazines, but they were prohibited until 1983. So branding drugs directly to the public through media outlets has really increased the pharmaceutical profits by 20 to 30% a year. And doctor complaints, well, physicians have voiced their concerns about having information about diseases on the internet as patients bring this data up in their visits to them. In particular, the website WebMD comes out often, and it seems to irritate doctors, and the majority of physicians tell their patients, don't believe everything you see online. Well, let's look at the study. This is April 2006. This is National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center, and they published a report titled Pharmaceutical Marketing and the Invention of the Medical Consumer. They called us vehicles of promotion, Frank. And so this goes back, they said, to the 1800s. They said in the 1800s, medicine was advertised in the medical almanacs, and it had an angle on the advertising, they went by the angle of making you disease aware. So even in the late 1800s, it appeared that medicine may have overstepped some boundaries, because here's a psychologist and he said this, William James, he said, the medical advertisement is an abomination The authors of these ads should be treated as public enemies and have no mercy shown. What'd you say, Frank? Yeah, well, I call them merchants of death. Okay, thank you, Frank. Appreciate your input. Well, let's, you gotta admit, they're making a quote, the invention of medical consumer. So we're becoming medical consumers, and they invented this, they say that, and it's become a sophisticated enterprise. And we're going to show you how this works. So we are encouraged today to accept the drug ads that appear to be the primary airtime support for a lot of our news broadcasts, even our sports outlets. Let's read a quote from the National Library of Medicine. They said, pharmaceutical marketing is more closely aligned with consumer marketing in other industries than it is with medicine, which the consequences are not trivial, end of quote.
Wow.
Right? So the drug ads during most of your primetime broadcast, TV and radio, these drug ads are most popular in most popular magazines, print ads, and there's a pharmacy on every corner kind of reminding you the scope of this marketing enterprise that's here. National Library says this, because we believe that we owe corporations our wealth and well-being, we tend not to question corporations, their fundamental practices, and they tend to become invisible to us. Well, I personally do not believe I owe my well-being to the drug companies. And one writer described drugs as this, contemporary disease mongering. Okay. So there's an art to advertising, and the drug cartels have really mastered it. So of advertising is this art form, in a sense that it motivates people to some sort of action. Now, whether it is by showing a positive benefit to the person or showing that person what they may be lacking. So TV ads and your news sound bites have really contributed also to an attention deficit problem in the general population. So it's almost like everything is, you know, a big billboard. You got so many seconds to get the message across before they pass by. So what'd you say, Frank? They use the same marketing as Harry the heroin dealer did. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, here's another quote from the National Library. They say, Americans are said to spend, on average, 3 years of their lives watching television advertisements, and the effect is that they are conditioned to want more and more. End of quote. Well, the heart of our pharmaceutical advertising is really geared towards the viewer's anxieties and dissatisfaction, which they are told can be addressed by consuming their product. So drug companies have helped millions of consumers build their product into their lifestyle. And you want to notice the ads that are the cartoons. Have you seen those, Frank? The cartoon ads. They design them on purpose this way. It's an animation. It's in a dreamlike world. And if you've seen one, have you seen the one of the stick people, but they're made out of you know, stainless steel pipe? And they're making decisions, these sick people, about what medicine will address their digestive health. So do you see the pun there, the mocking there? Stick people made out of pipe, talking about digestive health. Plumbing. They're talking about your plumbing. So it is kind of unusual, and it keeps people watching the ad. That's why they're doing those. And these ads do appeal to a certain demographic as well, so. It's all a marketing science scheme, really. But really, they have made it their profession to create lifestyle drugs. So if you analyze how your drug companies market their products, you're going to find that by the 1980s, they had created what is called lifestyle drug marketing techniques. So first, they started with products for sexual enhancement, and then they branched out from there. So drug companies created the crossover effect where their product can be offered to a wider consumer base. And here's an example. Antidepressants, which were originally marketed for patients with psychiatric conditions, but later your antidepressants gain a lifestyle marketing facelift with the reuptake inhibitors, and they prescribe those for social anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorders, premenstrual disorders for women, and a broad range of other conditions. So there you got your crossover. National Library of Medicine says the importance of lifestyle marketing is that it is extended to the promotion of many maintenance drugs intended for daily, lifelong consumption. Examples are medicines for allergies, insomnia, and acid reflux. And as a result of this sequence of events, industry opened the treatment of the inside of the human body as the final frontier to the same logic that governs all other marketing. End of quote. Yes, consumers may be making important medical decisions based on marketing, which may have no solid foundation or science behind it. No fundamental science, really. Theodore Levitt, he's a former editor of the Harvard Business Review. He says this: once a firm becomes principally driven by marketing, the case for most companies in most industries since the 1980s, then innovation comes to mean an elaboration of meaningless differences among a field of comparable Me Too products. More harmfully, expanding and altering the consumer's perception of disease is just as effective and eventually a lot easier than finding a new cure. Yeah. And, you know, these things go unchecked. Another masterpiece move by your drug companies is that they have, through their marketing, helped their consumer to see themselves not as patients, but as consumers. And this has eroded the confidence in the expert opinion of the medical doctor. So this was by decision, on purpose. The New York Times in November 2003 wrote this: for a sizable group of people in their 20s and 30s, deciding on their own what drugs to take, in particular stimulants, antidepressants, and other psychiatric meds, is becoming the norm. An emergence of this potentially dangerous situation demonstrates an unchecked expansion of the drug industry. End of quote. Unchecked indeed. So promoting consumer familiarity with drugs directly to the end user, like they're doing, is in this regard is a huge and wide influence of the pharmaceutical industry they're executing over other aspects. And this would include influence over clinical trial administration, research publication, regulatory lobbying, physician and patient education, drug pricing, advertising and point-of-use promotion, pharmacy distribution, drug compliance, legal and ethical norms. So celebrities are even now highlighting drugs in ads. You see, they're hawking the drugs. And once outside this market, celebrities were once outside this market, but now they're being part of it, and they're executing another layer of the patient-to-consumer conversion. You know, want to be a rock star? Take this headache medicine like I do, right? And you see somebody up on stage banging on a piano. What did you say, Frank? The plumbing pipe digestive is a subliminal application. Yes, Frank. Yes, I know. Everyone believes subliminal advertising is illegal, but it is not illegal. Huh. And the medical doctors to the pharmacocorp is a middleman, and when cutting costs, middlemen go first, well after maintenance. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I truly believe Dr. Kiosk is going to replace human physicians. Absolutely. And therefore, the drug companies already have their avenues, their marketing stream up and running to the end user who's going to buy their stuff. Well, let's look at this, because you know what? The other thing that the drug companies look at is, well, let's just go over it. Everything's an opportunity. So the ethics of your modern medicine is actually part of their marketing scheme, and they leverage this. So the overall view of the drug industry is this. This is a quote: also out of the report from the National Library, they say disease is an opportunity. This apparent complexity helps drug companies believe that they are performing a public service, end quote. So it's a twisted ethic that does not allow modern medicine to really cure disease or even the most destructive diseases of our time. So the drug companies see the convenience, the conversions of patients to consumers as empowering people to, quote, self-determine through choice. But is it real? That's the question. Is what they're telling you real? What are you basing your decision on? Well, here is a quote from the National Library of Medicine, and they say, this choice is an illusion, for in our pursuit of a near-utopian promise of perfect health, we have, without realizing it, given corporate marketers free rein to take control of the true instruments of our freedom, objectivity in science, ethics, and fairness in healthcare. And also the privilege to endow medicine with the autonomy to fulfill its oath to work for the benefit of the sick and to do no harm, end of quote. Well, yeah, basically, that, you know, oath, the Hippocratic Oath is, you know, been cast out. Modern medicine has gotten rid of it. And you want truthful benefits, you know? You don't want hype. So if you believe in God and his word, then you know the word of God is truth. So when scripture says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, you know God can't lie. You're going to find that in Psalms 104:14 and Revelations 22:2. So when modern medicine retires the Hippocratic oath of first do no harm because it is outdated and old-fashioned, it's of no use, then you know God is not in that kind of medicine. His hand's not on that. So when modern medicine says it can perfect the human immune system and the genetic code of man, you know God is not in that kind of medicine. Man was created in God's image, and God's signature is on his creation. That DNA, that's like God's signature on every human being. So when they want to alter it, edit it, that's like taking a special painting with the artist's signature at the bottom of the painting and removing the signature. That's what it's like. So medicinal herbs contain nutrition to help the body heal itself, and herbs offer the quintessential cure. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're wanting, not the hamster wheel of drug therapy for the rest of your life, which just, you know, minimize your symptoms so you can live as comfortably as possible with a disease. That's not a cure. That's a marketing concept. So if you're interested in herbs, want to empower yourself, learn more, this is the perfect time, and you don't want to squander the time, okay? Because the time to learn how to shoot the gun is not during the war, okay? You got to learn before. So call Apothecary Herbs for a free product herb catalog and empower yourself. Their number is toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Outside the United States, 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Web address, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And they're having a cleanse and nourish sale right now. You'll save 25% on orders of $55 or more. Use coupon code BODY23. It's up on the website, or you can just ask about it when you call in. But you do want to hurry. The sale ends on September 20th, and restrictions apply. So if you're dealing with your pre-fall, you know, sinus congestion, head cold, whatever it is, people are calling in about stuff like that lately, you definitely want to have stuff on hand for that. Over-the-counter stuff's not going to help. But you definitely want herbs that'll help, because God's promised us they're here for the service of man and healing of the nations. You can't, there's no stuttering right there. That's pretty plain and straightforward. He made herbs to assist the body to heal and cleanse out toxins. Because remember, God created everything, and at the foundations of the world, he looked down through the ages of time, and he could see what was going to happen through history. And he knew what we would need. So I trust in the Lord's wellness approach. I trust in the chemistry he put into his medicinal herbs, that they're perfectly balanced for the DNA that he created. So give Apothecary Herbs a call. Get a catalog, 866-229-3663. If you do have email and you want to sign up for their free online newsletters, there's two of them. They go out twice a week. You have the Health Quest and the American Survival. And the Health Quest goes out on Fridays, American Survival on Tuesdays. So do sign up for that. You will need email to get delivered. Go to thepowerherbs.com, click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. Yep. So give them a call if you have questions or concerns. Get your feet wet. Get familiar with the power God's delivered into your hands with his medicinal herbs. So it's an area of trust, and it's an area that proves itself time after time. Really, it's amazing. All right, so we're going to be taking a slight break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how did they determine doses by gender with prescription drugs, and some other areas that we might want to touch on as well with regard to that, so that you have a better picture of medical science and how it really operates. You'll be surprised. Medical science isn't always what you think it is. Working in the field, I learned a lot, and I continue to learn a lot. So I think people have an image, an impression, an ideology that, you know, I think all those ideas of medicine come from, you know, TV shows that they've seen. And it's not quite that. It's not the reality. It's really not. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll dive into that. We have more health news, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
To the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
To developing kidney stones, nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. eye. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
Talking about prescription drugs and doses, because we live in an age where we got lots of technology, information floating back and forth, many areas of science, education, economic markets, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? The Bible gives us wisdom and tells us this kind of thing would occur in the book of Daniel, in Daniel 12, where it said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even at the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So knowledge being increased doesn't mean truth, though. So the words knowledge and information are kind of interchangeable, and most assume that knowledge or information is truth, but not all of it is truth. So how many of us hear and read and media reports on various topics and think it must be true because it was reported on? Nothing could be further from the truth, because baby boomers remember a time when there was traditional integrity in journalism, where all information reported was strictly researched, sources were vetted and protected. But sadly, that kind of reporting has mostly vanished, and we are left with storytelling, gossip, and innuendo. And, of course, no sector of society is off-limits or protected from this kind of corruption. Everywhere you look these days, it requires one to exercise wisdom and discernment, checking the integrity of the information. Now, in August 2020, University of California, they released some really interesting information on the medical community's customary way of determining drug doses. So how many of us blindly trusted medicine and our physicians to carefully, you know, vet a new drug therapy? Most of us assume the drug research was valid and doctors trusted the medical journal information because it was published. Only research that's truthful should be published. Assumptions are like dominoes that track on down the line and eventually fall down. So here is the University of California knocking over the first domino, exposing decades of criminal research as not being complete and, more importantly, putting patients at risk. They report that when scientists test new drug therapies, they often use doses that are designed for men. Men have more body mass, more muscle mass, and more blood compared to females and even kids. So therefore, the dose for males is stronger than it would be designed for a female. The problem is, the clinical trials, the male dose is used regardless on the test group. Here's a quote. This is from the University of California, August 2020, Biology of Sex Differences. They said, women are more likely than men to suffer adverse side effects from medications because drug dosages have historically been based on clinical trials conducted solely on men. Wow. Well, you got that tumble down effect happening because the researchers report that over 7,000 medical journal articles were investigated and they found evidence that there is what is described as the drug dose gender gap. So from their sampling of drug trials, they found 86 medications which were approved by the FDA to have a one-size-fits-all drug dose. And the medications in the journal, in the trial, in the reviews, were from various categories of drugs, such as your antidepressants, your cardiovascular meds, the anti-seizure medications, and your pain analgesic meds. So according to Irving Zucker, he's a professor of integrative biology, University of California. He says, when it comes to prescribing drugs with a one-size-fits-all approach based on male-dominant clinical trials, it's not working, and women are getting the short end of the stick, end of quote. Well, you know, it's the physiology thing. Men and women are different. They're not the same. So physiology is an area of medical science, and there are clear differences between males and females. And did someone along the line make the assumption that doses for men will work as the same as doses for women? Well, whatever the reason is, it is a mistake, and that will go down in the history books of empirical medical history as one of the biggest errors. So this research did get published in the Journal of Biology of Sex Differences in August 2020. And here's another quote from the article. They said, drug dose gender gap stems from a historic disregard for the fundamental biological differences between male and female bodies, end of quote. Well, there's a big difference. There is a big difference. Some say, they just shrug their shoulders and they say, who cares about the dose? If it didn't kill the female patient, what's the problem? Well, the problem is, the study showed that females taking male doses had higher blood concentrations of the drugs, and it took it longer, their bodies longer, to get rid of the drug residues. So detoxing was slower for the females, it took them longer, and drug doses meant compared to males. So the men could detox a lot faster because those doses were meant for their physiology. So long-term use of these drugs for females put them at a higher risk of adverse events and possibly increased risk of mortality. Irving Zucker goes on to say, in 90% of the cases, women experience worse side effects than males, such as nausea, headaches, depression, cognitive deficits, seizures, hallucinations, agitation, and cardiac abnormalities. And overall, women experience adverse drug reactions nearly twice as often as men. Neglect of females is widespread, even in cell and animal studies where the subjects have been predominantly male, end of quote. So this significant blunder, if you will, started when women were excluded from clinical drug trials based in part on an unfounded assumption and concern regarding female hormone fluctuations, making them more difficult to study. So males, you kind of wonder about all the prescription drugs supposedly tailored to them and going into a female. So the inclusion of the exclusion of a female was because they were more hysterical than men were. That was the reason. We're hysterical people. So the inclusion of females in drug trials today has increased since 2016. But there are hundreds of drugs on the market that are grandfathered, and those doses haven't been adjusted for females. Irving Zucker says this, while the inclusion of females in drug trials has increased in recent years, many of these newer studies still fail to analyze the data for sex differences in previous trials. And according to a report in the Independent Nurse, more women die from prescription pain medications than men do. They referred to the deaths as accidental poisonings and not suicides, and it appears that the pain drugs are killing more middle-aged patients than other medications. Well, knowledge is power, right? This is the knowledge age, but you got to be discerning what's truth. So we have to keep in mind a lot of information has to be confirmed, and we have to do our own research on a lot of therapeutic therapies and supplements now that are recommended. So for knowledge to be powerful, it has to be truthful. So you always investigate the health therapies that are recommended to you. And be aware that mixing drugs with supplements, well, that can also, you know, throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing. So you want to be careful. So for more information, if you want to learn how to detox the body, strengthen the metabolism, boost the immunity, definitely call those at Apothecary Herbs. Go call those folks up and get a free product catalog because that's what they specialize in. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Because, really, when you start to use the truth and knowledge God's given us for medicinals, right? Well, then, most of your healthcare problems just got whooped. Yeah. Herbal solutions to simple medical issues. And I've seen miracles with the medicinals. Working in medicine, I saw very few of those. And I saw hundreds of miracles with God's herbs. So God gets all the credit every day, all the time. All right. So let's do a little math on your drug therapies for a little bit, because as you're, you know, overall, the world, all the countries, drug use is climbing, not just in America. And people start to wonder if percentages of prescribed medicine actually proven to work. Well, Frank, take a guess. Out of the drug therapies that worldwide are being used, what would you say the percentage is they actually do what they're supposed to do? Anybody out there? Anybody want to give me a guess? So, and, you know, we're going to push aside drug study hype. There has to be some empirical history aside here to show us it proves drugs actually cure people, right? That's what we were told they do. And you might be surprised what the math works out to be with regards to your drug culture. Patients are accustomed to popping pills for every symptom under the sun. And it can be much easier to drug up your symptom than to deal with the cause of the symptom. Dealing with the cause of your problem is going to be more work. Now, the increase in the number of Americans taking drugs jumped from 39% to over 48% between the years of 2007 and 2010. So we're going to take a look at some percentages of success brought about by prescription medicine therapy here. All right, so according to the CDC, in the United States, 48.7% of Americans take at least one medication. That's a prescribed medication. And the stats dropped to 21.8% on three drugs and then 10.7% on five or more drugs. So the three classifications in which drugs companies sell their most, the biggest money makers are your pain pillers, the analgesic group, the cholesterol-lowering statin drug group, and your antidepressant group. Three big money makers right there. So it's interesting that these three drug categories are at the top of the pill popping heap. And it is it's not by accident, it's by design. Painkillers will make patients addicted to the drug in a skinny minute if patients aren't careful. Cholesterol drugs on a cellular level make your cells fall apart. And this leads patients down to a myriad of illnesses, usually congestive heart failure. The antidepressants can alter behavior, putting patients and others at severe risk. So are these three categories of drugs working to cure people, or are they doing what they are designed to do and create patients for life and a bunch of problems? What a majority of people are figuring out is that there is a double-edged sword with many allopathic treatments. Here is a quote from Julia Holmes. She's an analytic studies CDC National Center for Health. She's a statistician. She said, isn't that the case with all forms of medical technology? There is always the potential for inappropriate use, end of quote. Well, if there is, Julia, I'm going to say it's tolerated. Let's look at some of government reports. The U.S. government has documentation on file that shows that prescription drug therapy is not a cure. In 2010, 5.1 million Americans were prescribed pain medicine, which is enough to medicate every adult in the United States for a month. And according to the reports by WebMD.com, medical professionals are overwhelmed with the unintended consequences these medicines are causing, such as bacterial resistance, drug addictions, adverse events, and interactions. So the CDC reported the runner-up category for the top-selling drugs are for conditions such as heart disease, hypertension, and kidney disease. It is also reported that narcotic medications used by patients have tripled, and the death rate on such patients have gone up exponentially. So the CDC is reporting you that the spending on the drug therapies have gone down from 14 to 2.9%, mainly due to lower costs of more generic drugs on the market, and these drugs are made overseas in countries like China. So Ann Burns, she's the vice president of American Pharmacists Association, she says 1 in 10 Americans takes 5 or more drugs, and this raises concerns about potential drug interaction. And, you know, doctors, you think doctors are on top of the drug interactions? I got news for you. Let's look at the study says. Study says 8% success rate. Research from Oregon State University, Frank, your state, looked at several large clinical trials paid for by the U.S. National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. The public is clamoring for more transparency regarding scientific ethics and more probes into the clinical data. They're being carried out, and the research team looked at 55 studies in which 30 were published before more regulatory safeguards had been put into place, and 25 of those studies were published afterward. So looking at the 25 studies that were published after the stiffer regulations were active, the team discovered only 2 studies had any positive outcomes. So in the group of 30 studies that were published before the stiffer regulations were in place, 17 trials were reported as having positive outcomes. So the stiffer regulations are in place to try to prevent the altering of data, making a study outcome look better than it is, in other words, fraud. So in this instance, the research team analyzed studies involving treatments for heart disease, and the team suggested that they would probably find similar outcomes when they looked at the trials for the treatment for things like diabetes and cancer. So the conclusion that the research team made is that there is a mere 8% of medical treatments being reviewed that offer any positive results. Medical pharmacology text says this, relatively few doctors ever report adverse drug reactions to the FDA. The reasons range from not knowing such a reporting system exists to fear of being sued, end of quote. So you just assumed they were on top of all that. Never make assumptions. Now let's go across the pond to the UK And the UK Telegraph and the National Health Services over there, they're being bribed by drug companies to use their drugs in their socialized healthcare programs. So this is a report that health officials are being wined and dined, and as well as offered significant sums of money to change their healthcare policies and protocol and their mandates on the drug therapies. So in the UK, it has been a policy that any therapeutic treatment needs to be based on solid research, evidentiary research, that it works and it is affordable. Those were the lines in the sand for drugs. Now, apparently, the drug companies don't have clinical research to support that their drugs work and are worth the cost. So the drug companies have been known to sweeten the bribery pot by offering any health official who is in charge of health policies a seat on their advisory panel. Probably $100,000, if you get a seat there. Easy. Also, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, adverse events and deaths caused by drug therapy are said to be 40,000 drug deaths and 120,000 adverse events annually. I think those numbers are low because guess what? A lot of those things don't get reported by doctors. And these numbers, some people say are pretty bogus. Here's what the FDA's Director of Drug Assessment says. This was Jerry Phillips. He's the associate director of the FDA's Office of Post-Marketing Drug Risk Assessment. He says, in the broader area of adverse drug reaction data, the 250,000 reports received annually probably represent only 5% of the actual reactions that occur. Wow. And also Dr. Jay Cohen says, because only 5% of adverse drug reactions are reported, there are, in fact, 5 million medication reactions each year. Now, imagine an herb doing that, Frank. What do you suppose would happen? Oh, it would be snatched off the market before you can even say, wait a minute. Now, researchers at the University of Minnesota state they uncovered evidence that the drug companies delay reports of adverse events caused by their drugs on purpose. They have installed mechanisms to cause the delay or to conceal the adverse event. So we would take notice that adverse drug reactions that were not expected because the reaction is not on the list from the drug manufacturer, and they considered it unexpected reactions, and so they didn't report it. So drug companies get around the current laws by spending more time verifying reports of the adverse events, and particularly on patient deaths, which delays the reports altogether. So what's wrong with this picture? Current federal laws have any adverse event drug reports, including death, well, they go to the drug manufacturer instead of the FDA. Why would you send them to the person who caused that problem? Why wouldn't you send it to an authority that could do something about it? So doctors are less able to make safe patient care choices if vital information about drug therapies is delayed or hidden, especially when newly approved treatments have been limited in the clinical testing. So in the law, it states justice delayed is justice denied. See? So here's Dr. Pinyar, MADDIC. He's a University of Minnesota School of Public Health. He says, our analysis provided evidence that drug manufacturers delay reporting of serious adverse events to the FDA, and strikingly, adverse events with patient death were more likely to be delayed, end quote. Strikingly? Well, why wouldn't they want to cover it up, Doc? Because it's going to hurt their reputation and they won't be able to sell drugs. So we're doing the math here, and it would appear that 8% of your prescription drug therapies is shown to be clinically effective, and the research shows positive outcomes with regard to controlling or diminishing the symptoms. However, the empirical history of drug use shows a different outcome. There is a trade-off of the side effects, which medicine does not consider a negative outcome. And I suspect that if researchers were to consider the side effects, the underreported rate of adverse events, and if the drug is discontinued, the symptoms of the disease do return, most drugs would produce a negative outcome, and the effect rate plummets. So take the person off the drug, the disease is still there. So how effective is it? So drugs which control symptoms make patients hostages to their diseases. That is not a cure. And that is basically the truth. So if you want to navigate this, if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, the question every patient needs to ask is, will the drug therapy help my body overcome my disease or simply manage the symptoms of my disease? I always ask that. It is a simple cure versus disease management question. And disease management is programmed into the healthcare system and their marketing plan. So health is our individual responsibility. And once you pass that off to a medical doctor, you run the risk of becoming toxic and weak on prescription meds. Now, I have often observed that anyone who is treated for, let's say, heart disease with a lot of these drugs has about 10 years before they get the news they have congestive heart failure or some other prognosis that's not good. So the heart drugs weaken the cardio system to the extent that it collapses under strain. And I always look for therapies that strengthen instead of weaken the system. So if an organ is weak, the last thing you want to do is take a drug that forces it to function, and instead you want to support the organ and take the burden off of it as much as possible. So there's natural therapies, there's herbs out there that help do those things, and if you're looking for cardiovascular strengthening herbs, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a whole section on cardio. You can read more about it online at thepowerherbs.com, or you can simply get one of their catalogs and read about it in there. They're absolutely free. The catalogs are free. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Outside the U.S., 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. The web address, once again, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And don't forget, they're having the sale. They're wrapping that up on Wednesday, though, so you have a few days left. Thepowerherbs.com, they're having their Cleanse and Nourish sale, but you can save 25% on everything they make. So check it out online or give them a call. Ask about the sale. It ends on the 20th, this Wednesday, so don't delay. And restrictions apply. 866-229-3663, Apothecary Herbs, give them a call. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.